Awesome. Well, like I said before we started rolling, like honestly, like really, really appreciate you being here, Hayley. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me on, Matthew. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so we usually kind of start with kind of like early experiences and early memories, and we kind of track somebody's origin story and all that sort of stuff. I'd like to just bypass that bit because I do want to get into some of the nitty-gritty of what we're going to talk about today. Where I would like to start is tell us where on earth you came across this idea of fermented food, or you came across this term probiotics, because my experience growing up was like yogurt ads. And that was about it. Do you know what I mean? Like that was the extent that I got the world of healthy bacteria. So what was your journey?
Well, it kind of started with me studying nutrition. I was studying to become a nutritional, a holistic nutritional therapist. So that would be basically using food as a medicine to bring about health and wellness. And it was when I'd finished studying that I was really interested in using food as a medicine and not relying on supplements. At the time, I was basically a stay-at-home mum with a very young family, and I didn't have much money, so I couldn't be splashing out buying loads of different supplements.
Sure, yeah.
So I became really interested in the foods that our ancestors were eating, because of course they didn't have supplements, and you know, how did they manage to stay free from all the diseases of modern man that we're suffering from today? And I came across fermented foods for the first time. Fermented foods, it's how we used to preserve food through fermentation. And the result is not only food that tastes, it enhances the flavor. It changes and enhances the flavor of whatever you've fermented. It brings it into a state of natural preservation. But you also have a food that's naturally rich in probiotics. So that's the healthy bacteria that your gut thrives on and is basically the basis of overall health and wellness in your body. So I started experimenting with several different forms of fermented foods. I was doing kefir and kombucha and yogurt, making sourdough bread. And then I came across fermented vegetables. And I just had great fun with it. That I probably at any one time had 8 to 10 kiln jars on the on the worktop with all different sorts of things fermenting, and it really was a lot of fun. And being online all the time and kind of reading what's going on in the world of nutrition, I was reading a lot about what was happening in the States, and I saw the fermented vegetable products such as sauerkraut and kimchi was a rapidly developing food trend.
Yeah.
And then this was kind of back in 2013. And I was like, oh my goodness, like you actually can't buy these types of foods in Ireland. And it just made me realize that I possibly had a viable business idea. And me and a friend who had studied nutrition with me, we were basically going down the local farmers market just for the crack to set up a stand and to give out leaflets on nutrition and, you know, natural diets and, as I said earlier on, the foods that our ancestors ate, such as grass-fed beef, good quality animal fats such as butter, and you know, lots of vegetables in the diet. Basically, just going back to a very traditional diet, the foods that your grandmother's grandmother would have eaten, just nothing processed and everything just really natural. And I kind of thought to myself, well, if we're going down to the market, will I bring down a few jars of sauerkraut and try and sell them while I'm at it? And that was kind of basically how it began. I started selling jars of sauerkraut down at the local farmers market, and people seemed to kind of like it. And I kind of did that for a few months. Then the winter came, and I was like, oh, I can't stand this down at the market. It was just way too cold for me. And I kind of gave it up for a little while. And then I did I decided to take part in a course run by the local enterprise board. And it was like a start your own business course. And it was interesting, but to be honest with you, it completely put me off the whole idea of starting a business, because I was kind of coming from a background of zero experience,
experience. They hit with the business plans and the spreadsheets and the workflow and the tax models and the organizational structures. Yeah. You're like, bro, I just brought a couple of Kilner jars to a farmer's market. Like, you gotta like cool the jets here on this business speak.
Yeah. They were talking about sales forecasts and that you need to be turning over this much in the first quarter. And if not, it's not a viable business. And I was just like, oh, I can't do this. I don't have the skill set to do it. So it was all kind of jacked in for a few months, but I kept having people coming up to me saying, where can I get your sauerkraut? You know, I really miss your sauerkraut. And talking to the lady in my local health food shop, she was also encouraging me. And she said, look, just make up a few jars and bring them in. And that's kind of where it started. I started in one health food shop, then another health food shop. Then I was in about 10 health food shops around County Cork. And then I decided to go to a distributor in Ireland who supplied health food shops. They snapped it up straight away. This was in 2014. It would have been April 2014. And I basically rang around like nearly every health food shop in Ireland and spoke to them myself. And because at the time there was no other products like mine, and of course, you know, Irish people, they're so supportive of one another. It just seemed to take off. And then by the end of 2014, I was exporting to the UK to my first health food distributor. It just seemed that whichever door I knocked on, it opened, because at the time I had no competition. There wasn't anybody doing what I was doing. Now, look, the sales were... they were low because like nobody knew what sauerkraut was or pickled cabbage was. So it was an incredibly niche product, which over the 8 years of running the business, things like in the last couple of years, like sales have just, they've really, really increased, because people, you know, it's not just people shopping in the health food shop now. It's, I won't go as far as saying it's a mainstream product, but it's not as niche as what it was before. And I think there is a growing awareness around gut health and gut bacteria and probiotic rich foods, and people are naturally kind of searching out these foods. So
that education piece I think is so huge, because as you say, you know, like most Irish folks, they're like, what the heck is sauerkraut? You know what I mean? It's like something that maybe Germans put on whatever they call their hot dogs. Do you know what I mean? It's like that's like to the extent.
Yeah, and there is actually quite a negative feeling towards sauerkraut. People think it's like really smelly. They might have stinky cabbage from Germany. And there probably is a lot of really, like a lot of the kind of mass produced mainstream sauerkraut probably is a bit rough. But we're trying to steadily convert people anyway. And generally people, once they've tried it, they kind of keep on going with it, because they seem to very quickly feel the benefits of eating, of introducing fermented foods into their diet.
For sure. I mean, I'm definitely a convert. Like you've absolutely flipped me. My origin story with the Cultured Food Company was, we were staying up in Ballyliffin in Donegal, and we walked into a Super Value, and for some reason it had your products, like just like prime time bells and whistles around it. And I walked up, I was like, what the heck is that? And I was like, sauerkraut, yeah, okay. Red kraut, okay, whoa, interesting. Kimchi, what the heck is this? And then I don't know, I must have like turned your jar over, and I must have literally just like saw something about the probiotic nature of the food. And I had just been reading a book about the connection between your belly and your brain, and how, like, you know, the bacteria in your stomach influence so many things that go on in your brain. So it was kind of like on that journey, wanted to try it. So bought like literally probably like 6 jars, loaded them up in my car, drove home, went through them. I was like, this is incredible. This is not like the sauerkraut I've had before, which is usually served to me like hot and steamy and stinky, you know? And, you know, all the different flavors that you had, I was like, this is crazy. I was like throwing it on top of my omelets. I was like just randomly putting it like on my plate. I was like, dude, get this root crowd on here, like this red stuff. Like, this looks epic. Like, bring a bit of color onto my plate. And then that was it. I finished all your products and that was it. I was like, okay, I'll just go and like buy some other sauerkraut. So I went on like probably like a 3-month journey where I was buying every sauerkraut I could find in big supermarkets. I was buying pickles because I heard pickles were good for your stomach. And then the shock and horror that hit me whenever I realized that all this food I was eating had like zero probiotics in them.
Oh yeah,
because it was pasteurized. Yeah. So, you know, and it was only if I like really looked closely on the labels, I was like, what do they mean pasteurized? Like, I know milk gets pasteurized. And then I Googled it and I was like, oh my goodness, they've literally killed all the stuff that I'm trying to get. Mm-hmm. And then the same with pickles. I was just getting pickles in, you know, vinegar. And I realized, oh, these are different to like actual fermented cucumbers. Yeah. You know, these are just like little tiny cucumbers that get thrown in some vinegar and they absorb the flavor. And there's very little, if not no, kind of gut benefit from doing that. So I like was spending all this money and like all this effort and all this like chewing of my jaw and stuff that I was like, oh my goodness, this hasn't even done anything. And that's when I went back on your website and I ordered, I don't know, a whole crate more. And I've been a believer ever since.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's unfortunately, yeah, that's the foundation of all these kind of sauerkrauts and fermented vegetable products and actually many condiments, ketchup, believe it or not, the mustards, they were all originally lacto-fermented. Wow. Condiments. So lacto-fermented, lacto-fermentation, that's the type of fermentation that we're doing. It basically means you're using the lactobacilli bacteria. So it's got nothing to do with people think lactose, they think of dairy. It's not anything to do with dairy products.
Yeah.
But lactobacilli bacteria is a type of bacteria that's present on all living things. And originally, many of the condiments that we know today, they were lacto-fermented. But after a while, they started using sugar and vinegar to preserve products instead because it was a more commercially viable option. I mean, you could make up sauerkraut, you could make up, you know, any of these condiments in a matter of hours or days and pasteurize them, kill off all the bacteria in them and just preserve them with sugar or vinegar. So the process that we use, and again, it differs to many kind of commercially available sauerkrauts today. We actually ferment for 3 to 4 months. Our sauerkrauts are sitting in barrels for 3 to 4 months.
It's like selling whiskey. You got to have like a real like prophetic look at the future. Like, how much do I have to make for like to sell in 6 months' time? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, our sauerkrauts. So customers get confused because they can quite often find our sauerkraut sitting on the shelf. They're not always refrigerated.
Yeah.
People think that unless the sauerkrauts are refrigerated, that they've been pasteurized and that it's not the proper sauerkraut. The reason why a lot of commercially produced sauerkrauts, unpasteurized, you'll find them in the fridge. They've been fermented for a very short period of time, and if they were left sit at an ambient temperature in a jar with a sealed lid, because it's not fully fermented, the fermentation would kick in and you get gas building up. Gas is a byproduct of the fermentation process. So they think of a fridge as a fermentation stopper. Anything that's fermenting, put it into the fridge, stops the fermentation. And I just kind of thought to myself, it kind of defeats the whole object. Like, the reason why we used to ferment foods was we didn't have refrigeration.
Yeah, it's how you make your cabbage last you a whole year, isn't it?
Yeah. So not only do you end up with a product that is incredibly rich in probiotics, because the longer you ferment, the higher the bacterial content. It has a more complex flavor, but we now have a range of products that can be shipped to ambient. They can sit in some shops that, you know, not everybody has refrigeration. They don't have the space for it.
That's right.
So we've basically got a more kind of commercially attractive product. So that was kind of the logic behind it. But it does create some confusion with people because people, you know, I get emails like, you know, your products aren't, they must be pasteurized because I found them on the shelf. So there's a little bit of explaining in it.
Is it not also the case, though, I could be totally wrong, maybe not with sauerkraut, maybe with other types of fermented food, that early on in the fermentation process, if you kind of threw a sealed lid on it, that it would have the potential to explode?
Well, I don't think it would explode the glass, but listen, I can tell you when I first started off the company, we messed around with that fermentation period.
Sure.
And we had some very uncomfortable situations, turning up to work and basically a hissing noise coming out of the storage room.
Oh my goodness.
And you might have 100 boxes that had been packaged and labeled and boxed, and you go in to find a big sodden heap. The fermentation hadn't finished, the gas built up in the jar, and it basically pushed all the juices out. And we had a couple of instances like that. It was all trial and error until we eventually came up with the right time.
Well, but this is the thing, you know, the food you sell is alive. You know what I mean? Like that's the beauty of it. And I love when you said earlier that, you know, it's like reinventing the wheel. Like you're selling and producing food that our ancestors would have eaten by necessity. Do you know what I mean? They didn't have the supermarkets. They didn't have the fridges. They grew their crops and then they had to find a way. How the heck do I make this stretch whenever there's no crops in season?
And I've heard it said before that it's essentially our missing food group. Mm-hmm. We would have always had a form of food in our diet that had live bacteria on it. And we've completely eradicated it from our diet. And instead, we're constantly doing things that damages our gut bacteria. In our lifestyle. And, you know, are you surprised that we have all the mental health issues and the digestive issues that are kind of afflicting many people around the world? So I think this growing trend towards consuming these products and people's experience of once they start consuming them, you know, how much better they feel, it's no surprise.
Yeah. And, you know, as you said at the start, you know, food is medicine. And I think one of the most powerful manifestations you see of that is in the realm of prevention. You know, like if you clean up your diet, if you start adding the missing pieces of the puzzle, as you kind of alluded to, then your body and your brain is in, you've set better conditions for it to thrive. We'll kind of put it that way, right?
Yeah.
And so I'd love for you maybe just to like start walking through with us why it's so important that we start adding back this missing piece of the puzzle into our lives. And I'll caveat this by saying that, you know, since encountering your jar of sauerkraut on the shelf in a Super Value in Ballyliffe and Donegal, I then went off and, as you said, you know, I started making the kefir and I started making, you know, fermented cauliflower and my own types of sauerkraut and, you know, opening up that whole kind of can of fermented worms and just really, really diving deep into that world. And the benefit that I felt was tangible and it was very immediate. Even like while eating it, I felt that little, you could tell me it's placebo, but I felt that little bit of a buzz. I was like, this feels good. Like almost the same way, like, you know, certain dopamine based activities kind of stimulate you. I was like, I want to eat more of this. I found myself being like, I wouldn't say addicted to it, but like I wanted more because it felt good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, I'll start off by saying this just kind of, it basically sums it up. We're walking bags of bacteria. Our human DNA cells are outnumbered by bacteria 10 to 1. So there's 10 times more bacteria than human DNA.
Oh, my goodness.
So it kind of makes sense to do everything that you possibly can do to look after your gut bacteria.
Yeah. It's kind of uncomfortable, but I'm rolling with it. Keep going.
Yeah. So the health and functioning of your gut is the key to overall health. And your gut bacteria is just incredibly important for the health of your gut, and it helps you to absorb nutrients. So if you've got a gut lining that's inflamed, and you know, you might have leaky gut, which is basically, I'm not sure if I can remember the exact terminology for the leaky gut, but it's something, if you've got a leaky gut, particles of food are passing through into your bloodstream that shouldn't be doing, and it can cause a whole array of problems in your body. So fermenting,
yeah, it's like the bouncers aren't doing their job properly.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly.
They're letting through a couple of the scoundrels that should never have gotten in the first place.
Yeah. So your gut bacteria, it's vital for the health of your gut lining. It's vital it helps you to kind of break down and process your food into absorbable nutrients. And your gut also houses a lot of neurotransmitters. I think it's around 80% of your neurotransmitters, which are your brain chemicals, are stored down in your gut.
I've heard that about serotonin, which is like crazy.
Yeah. So if you've got a toxic gut, you will definitely have a toxic brain. And actually, it can be the other way around. If you have a toxic brain, i.e. stress, anxiety, that will have a direct effect on your gut health as well.
Well, break down for me. I don't know if you've experienced this, or if you know any kind of, I don't know, science or even anecdotal experience on this. I found that when I started adding the fermented foods into my diet and just cleaning up my diet in general, my cravings totally changed. So I went from, like, let's say, you know, driving down the motorway and seeing a golden arch and being like, oh, 20 chicken nuggets sounds great right now, to then, like, driving down the road and being like, oh man, I'd love to get some, like, sauerkraut when I go home. And I was like, I caught myself doing it, and I was like, is something wrong with me? Like, have I become, like, are there, like, parasites inside me that are, like, trying to control what I eat? It felt like a very, very strange experience. But I, you know, to the point where I started craving these healthy foods, like even foods that I didn't necessarily enjoy before I kind of started the cleanup process.
Yeah. Well, it's probably, I think once you kind of go down that road of connecting how you feel after eating certain foods, and you can see the correlation, it kind of becomes a little bit of a way of living, and you become precious. If you, I personally find the more tuned in to your body and how it's functioning, the more tuned in you become, the more neurotic you become. Not only joking. Some people would say that we're neurotic, but I like your body is your temple.
Yeah.
And like all eating all those kind of processed foods, the highly processed, you know, and sugary, that is an addiction. And it's actually the bad gut bacteria in you that are communicating with your brain and telling you to go and eat more sugar, go and get more processed food, go and eat some white bread, because you're feeding them.
Crazy.
Because you're feeding them and you're keeping them alive. Once you start going down the healthy road and cutting that food out, introducing fermented foods or, you know, other health promoting foods, you're bigging up the good bacteria, and the bad bacteria, they're dying off and you're detoxing them.
That's so crazy. So,
yeah.
So that's exactly what was going on then. My bad guys were getting fewer and fewer in number. My good guys were growing. That's crazy.
Yeah. I personally find that, like, I just stay the hell away from sugar and white processed flowery products.
Yeah.
Because when I start eating them, I'm not particularly enjoying the experience, but I get this feeling of, I just want to keep eating more, eat more. And yeah, it's such a horrible feeling. Horrible feeling.
It's that loss of control. Is
yeah. Yeah. Personally, I suffer from candida, and that's how I keep it under control.
So what is candida, that? Sorry, I've never heard that before.
Candida. So candida is a type of yeast. Everybody has it in their body,
yeah.
But in some people, it can get out of balance. It's a type of yeast called Candida albicans. And yeah, like sugary, there's lots of things that can
just feed it, make it bigger.
Yeah, worse. Like basically your gut flora, it becomes unbalanced. And the Candida albicans is a type of yeast that can get out of control. And so many people suffer from candida and they actually don't realize it. It can cause so many health conditions. And so that's what I kind of have. And I keep it under control by avoiding processed sugary foods and having a diet rich in fermented foods. I mean, I've always had a sensitive digestive system. I remember when I was a late teen, I came across a book by Patrick Holford, The Optimum Nutrition Bible. And I realized, I just began to understand the connection between what you're eating and your health. And I was absolutely blown away by it. And, you know, I basically decided to cut out gluten. And then I cut out dairy and I just felt so much better. And that's kind of where the journey began, to be honest with you. And then I had my four daughters and I became one of these really...
No small number, just slipped it in. Like yeah. It's like you went down to the shop and got a packet of crisps.
And I became one of these kind of like crazy neurotic mums who didn't want... I think I've scarred my kids for life because they kind of... They're like teenagers now and they kind of talk about, do you remember like when... Mum used to take us to birthday parties and she used to bring a bag of things that we could have
a bag of carrots.
And I was like, come on guys, it wasn't that bad.
I've
definitely scarred them. And I was like, this is coming from a good place. I don't want the best for you. I knew too much.
Look, what is it to say? More wisdom, more suffering, you know?
It's
delicate balance between knowledge is power, you know. It's mad. But you know, I think like even the diet that you've described, there's a pretty strong ancestral case for it. You know, like even if you take something like sugar, like take us back to Ireland 200 years ago, like what access did we have to processed sugar? You know what I mean? Like sugar was something that you would get in the form of maybe a couple of strawberries in the summertime, you know?
Exactly.
And look, if you really want to go mad, you would have discovered like a wee random strawberry bush and devoured the whole thing. And then that's it. You're out of strawberries and you can't do it anymore. And they're all bad in a couple of weeks. There's your sugar for the year.
So it's like, it's all the processed sugars, the processed grains, like the white floury products. It's all the man-made vegetable oils. You know, like what fats did we have before? We had lard, we had butter. Like a lot of these fats that are being used today, we did not have in our diets 100 years ago. All the kind of processed meats and all the stuff that's going on there, bit toxic if you ask me. I mean, I have nothing against meat. I have meat in my diet, but I always choose good quality organic or free range meat where possible. I eat a lot of fish, and it's kind of just going back to basics really, and just stay the hell away from processed food as much as possible.
I'm a believer, like I'm totally sold. And I think that more of us are moving that way. One of my favorite things you've said in this conversation so far is being aware of how your food makes you feel.
Yeah.
Because so often, and you know, I just am even picturing like going back to school, you know, as a teenager or even as a kid, and like it's break time and you just open up your packed lunch and you just scoff the Jaffa Cakes into you. And then you'll go through your classes and you know, lunchtime comes around. You open up and you have your wee, you know, your white bread sandwich. And not once in that day, you could feel like you're on a roller coaster. You're like, I just didn't feel great you know, around 11 o'clock and felt kind of cranky and irritable at one. And you would never, ever, ever make the connection with your food. You're like, what the hell's wrong with me? Like, am I some sort of like lunatic here? Like that. And you don't actually think like, what is the fuel that I'm putting into the system? Like if you drive a diesel car and you put petrol into it and it starts spluttering, that's a little bit like kind of like what we do with our bodies. We're like, why the hell is this thing not working? You know what I mean? It's absolutely bonkers.
I just think there's so many kind of illnesses and conditions that could be avoided if you just listen to your body. And unfortunately for many people, they never kind of learn about this until it's too late. They're down the doctors, they're being prescribed medication. Yeah. Doctors don't really think to kind of question the diet. I've heard it said that a doctor, when in medical training, they only do half a day's nutrition throughout the whole training. Wow. And it's just the dots are not connected. And so many people just kind of go through their lives cranky and depressed and just not feeling quite right. And they just don't realize that what you're eating is having a direct effect on how you feel and how you function.
That's mad. And, you know, I mean, we could spend the rest of our time chatting all about the industrial medical system. Yeah. I think, you know, to empathize with the doctor for a second, it's like they've got so many people on the conveyor belt coming in, and it's seemingly easy just to, here's a bottle of pills, tick, there's your magic bullet, there's your solution, God bless, have a good life, versus, you know, getting into people's diets and trying to convince them and, you know, make a compelling case for why you should start eating this and not do this. But we treat really complex problems with oversimplified solutions, you know, and I guess that's where, for someone listening who's taken the time to have like a longer form discussion and a bit of research around what's going on with their gut and their bacteria, I think this is where people will have the opportunity to change. Yeah. With all that to say, what is an easy on-ramp that you can recommend to people?
What's an on-ramp?
Apologies, that's probably just the northern accent killed me as well. Like an on-ramp, so the easiest way to like get up on to say like, or here's a better way, you know, like the slip road coming onto the motorway, like give us like a really easy first step that we can do to start to enter into this world of fermented food. Like be really prescriptive here, like you are the doctor, give us your prescription, like write it out for us. It's like, I want you to eat red sauerkraut with your omelet every day. Do you know what I mean? Like something like that.
I mean, it would be great if you want to buy my sauerkrauts or sure. Kimchi. But look, there's any type of live fermented food. And I think a really good place to start would be first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. Or maybe like myself, I generally dabble in the intermittent fasting. And
of course you do.
Have my first meal around.
How could I just tell that about you? Like, you didn't even have to say that.
So your first meal of the day,
so I get it.
Break your fast with some type of fermented food because your stomach's empty, and it's just good to get the probiotic rich food into your gut, and maybe just 3 times a day. With each meal, just like do a bit of kind of research and kind of find out about all the different types of fermented foods that there are. You know, like, because I'm not saying just eat sauerkraut 3 times a day. Like, you've got lots of
that's a hard sell for most people.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, you've got lots of different options. But if you can start introducing some kind of fermented food, and you've got all the drinks as well, kombucha and all the different kefir drinks, and just start off, maybe for the first week, have one helping a day. Then for the second week, up it to twice a day. And then after that, if you're still feeling good, 3 times a day. What can happen if you introduce too much fermented foods too quickly is you can have a huge detox reaction, which could result in bubbly tummy. You could have like a kind of brain fog and headache and just feel a bit crappy, what's happening there is you're basically killing off the bad bacteria faster than what your body can get rid of it. And it makes you, it's called the Hyx-Heimer reaction. It's called die-off.
That's a good sauerkraut name.
Yeah. Yeah. So you would kind of want to introduce them slowly into your diet. And yeah.
So, you know, you're saying start the war against the bad bacteria slowly. Don't just go dropping a huge bomb on everybody. Just like,
yeah, it sounds like that's what you did though, Matthew. It sounds like you just
went
to bomb.
Honestly, it worked well for me.
Okay,
and I was
good.
You know, my entry into all this was just like I said, throwing a little bit of sauerkraut on an omelet, mm-hmm. and then maybe a different coloured sauerkraut with my dinner or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's fun, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, go ahead. Quite versatile. Like once you kind of get into use them, you realise, like if you think of it like a coleslaw, I mean, you can have it on burgers, on your hot dog. I have kimchi with eggs in the morning. I do like poke bowl with, you know, you can put some of the kimchi on that. It's always better not to cook with them because you would destroy the probiotic.
Yeah.
But just to kind of put it, to be honest with you, it's like a convenience food. It's like a super healthy convenience food. It's one of your five a day. I mean, there's times that I come home from work and I'm preparing some food for my children and you just something quick and easy but healthy, and sauerkraut is always on the plate. Thank God they like it. They do like it. And it's just, you just feel good going to bed knowing that you've given them a nutritious meal because, you know. And actually, believe it or not, this is a really fascinating fact. So fermentation process, it actually boosts the nutrient content of the vegetable. So if you take a head of cabbage.
That's right.
And ferment it, it's got 10 times more vitamin C in it once it's fermented. And you get like B vitamins being created, vitamin K, I think. You might have to double check that one, but definitely the B vitamins. And the fermentation process, it pre-digests the vegetable or whatever you're fermenting, and it makes the nutrients much more bioavailable to your body. So not only are you creating vitamins, but you're also making what vitamins and nutrients are in the food more absorbable to your body. Apparently, Captain Cook, who was a famous explorer, he kept his crew free of scurvy because he always had a barrel of sauerkraut on board.
Yo, look at that.
Yeah. So apparently all the other crews were going down with scurvy, but not Captain Cook.
That's fascinating because, you know, it calls back to what you said about the whole idea of supplements. Like, you know, the nutraceutical industry, I heard someone refer to it recently. And you could spend a lot of money on vitamin C supplements. You can spend a lot of money on probiotic supplements, like a lot of money.
The thing is with probiotics, you actually don't know how much of that probiotic is going to pass through your stomach acid and get down below into the intestines. Whereas with sauerkraut and fermented foods, 100% it's making it it's getting down into the lower intestine. And another point that I really like about fermented foods is there's food shortages all around the world, and the quality of food that people have access to, it's not always the best.
Yeah.
And I really like fermented foods because you're boosting the nutrient content of the food. You're upping the nutrient content, and it just, I just really like that idea.
Well, you know, people love life hacks. You know, it feels very like 2000s to say, even say the word life hack. But like, what a way to level up your food. As you said, if you're scrimping on like an unbelievably razor edged budget, you can't afford to go to the farmer's market and buy the super duper elite organic stuff.
Yeah.
And all you have at your disposal is that cabbage or, you know, that thing or that there, like you could literally level up your food. You could extend the shelf life. You can increase the vitamin content. You can add probiotics into the mix. And it's so crazy because like, this is the stuff your great granny was doing and we've just lost it. You know what I mean? Like we've just completely forgotten about it. And the other reason why I love your products and I love eating your products is because, you know, I have heard some people talk about, and a bit of research dipping into, the fact that our bellies enjoy eating food that's natural to the environment that it historically is from. So, aka, because that was a pretty wordy sentence, if your family line is from Ireland, your body enjoys eating food that comes from Ireland, you know, whatever the way it's made up, whatever little nutrients the soil has, like that's kind of what your body has adapted to enjoy. And as you said, the fermented food bit has just been completely removed from our diet. It's absolutely wild. And I loved your prescription, you know, okay, start slow, but once you're ramped up there, do just add it to each meal. Like that's such a simple thing. It's like the same way if anyone who's listened to this is really into their fitness, the same way they think about protein, just think about your probiotics. It's like, look, I got to get my 20 grams of protein in for this meal, and I got to get my 3 spoonfuls of fermented food, you know, whatever it is. It's an easy, easy add, and it's delicious. And I, as I said multiple times, I love adding a bit of color to my plate. It just looks so cool. Like the red sauerkraut is just awesome. It just looks legendary. It's worth it alone just for that.
It does. It jazzes up any meal, really. The ruby red would be our best seller, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, we sell twice as much of that product than any of our other products.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I think people really love the color.
Very cool. So I really wanted to make sure that we talked about, I was just checking my idiot sheet there. I was like, what was the thing I wanted to do? I walked into Lidl the other day, and lo and behold, there was a picture of you on a banner.
What? No way.
And there was a whole range of your products. And I was like I, you know, I hadn't met you, I hadn't talked to you at this point, and I was like, yes, Haley's made the big time. Let's go, baby. You know what I mean? I was like, as an avid fan, I felt like, you know, like someone who had saw Coldplay perform to an audience of like 20 people. I was like, I knew about this before it was mainstream, before it hit the supermarket shelves. So how the heck did that process come about? Because it's one thing getting stocked at the foldy table in your local farmer's market and then leveling up and getting in 10 health food shops. But how do you break into a big retailer like that? Give us a little bit of entrepreneurial magic.
Well, I'm really surprised to hear that they have a banner of me up there. That's pretty impressive. Wow. So Lidl's run, they do like a thing called Kickstart promotion. And it's similar to what Super Value do. They do something called Food Academy. And it's just a way of the supermarkets supporting small local suppliers. And they do it once a year. And they either contact you or you enter your products in. And they select a certain number of products. And they will do a promotion that runs for 2 weeks. And they basically showcase your products to see whether or not they would be a suitable product to be on the shelf year round in Lidl's.
So I've trial just, before you stock sort of thing. Like a little bit of a test market.
Yeah.
Hey, so good for them. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah. So they contacted me last year, and I did the Kickstart promotion with them last year, and it turned into them exploring with me the possibility of having my product sitting on the shelf for a little bit longer. So we just did another promotion with them, actually, and that's probably what you were seeing. It was St. Patrick's Day for 2 weeks. They ran another promotion with our products, but we are just about to begin supplying Lidl's. I won't say permanently. Sure. They're basically trialing my products longer.
It's like dating. This is like the fourth date. Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's like it's a longer dinner. Maybe it's a starter and a main course this time. Yeah. I get it. It's
so
cool.
You're gonna see my products in Lidl's for the rest of 2022, at least.
Wow.
So I'm hoping that it will go well.
Yeah, of course.
And that people will buy.
Yeah, what a great relationship, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It will be fantastic.
Cool. Well, before we kind of wrap up with a couple of stock questions, I'm actually just going to do the plug now because it just makes sense to do it. If you shop in Lidl, take a look out for it. For me, it was in the section with the big orange kind of banners, like near the middle aisle where they kind of have like that little bit of a wild card section, there's usually like things that look like Christmas biscuits all year round over there, and like strange jars of like olives from Greece and stuff. That little kind of like wild card aisle is where you'll find a lot of the Kickstart products. But I personally buy directly from Culture Food Company's website because I know that it's a lot of independent retailers, they value that, but also I get a better deal and I get it delivered straight to my house. And the whole kind of process was very, very, very smooth, very Amazon-like. And so that is one of the heaviest plugs I've done on the show, because I genuinely love and believe in your product, the health benefit of it. And also just, it's just a fun, weird and wonderful thing to do. So anything you want to add on top of that? Anything in development? Well, if you, anything like a hardcore groupie like me can like get ready for?
Well, you can now buy sauerkraut juice. So not the faint-hearted, but on the website you can. We now bottle the juice from each sauerkraut production. Wow. And this is a very concentrated way of getting the probiotics in.
So this is like am I taking a shot of this?
You're taking a shot.
So imagine my like kitchen counter lined up. I've got my apple cider vinegar, and then I throw that back. And then next thing, I've got the sauerkraut juice, and I'm throwing that back. Is that the idea?
It's something like that, yeah. Yeah, it's really delicious. It's actually really quite delicious. The chili and dill sauerkraut juice.
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite. It's so delicious. And then, of course, we have the beetroot tonic, the beet kvass, which is, have you tried that, Matthew?
I have to say, that is my favorite out of all.
Oh, time. Fair play.
I love, what do you say, the kvass? I just call it beet juice. It's not beet juice, but it's...
It's kvass. K-V-A-S-S.
Right. And where's that kind of, who's claiming that?
It's of Russian origin, kvass. Wow. There's different types of kvass that you can make. It was quite popular to be made by fermenting rye bread. But this time we did it with beetroots.
I gotta say, like, out of all the fermented stuff I've tried, that's the thing that's given me that like little bit of a kick the most, you know?
Yeah,
like I throw back a little bit of kvass and I'm like, whoa. And
that's
I enjoy
fantastic.
That.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Immensely.
Yeah. And then we have other condiments that I'm, so we're actually in the process of building new premises at the moment. So it's been an intense few months. We've been operating in our current premises for the last couple of years, and we've completely outgrown it. I mean, the icing on the cake was when we got a forklift, and
when you know you've hit the big time.
Yeah.
If anyone ever asks you, like, at what point did you know you made it in business, you're like, yeah, when I got the keys to my first forklift, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's just not enough room to maneuver it around in there. Like the first time I drove the forklift, I actually brought it into the kitchen and actually accidentally ripped the sink off the wall.
Oh my goodness.
I lifted up a pallet of cabbage, but unfortunately, because we bring in like a ton of cabbage at a time, yeah. And it kind of caught the sink when I lifted it up, and I ripped the whole thing away from the wall. So that was a bit of a disaster. So we're building, we're kitting out new premises at the moment, and I would say in a month's time we'll have moved in and be so, lots of space to expand and develop new products. So there's new products in the pipeline for sure.
Very cool. I don't know why this question's in my head. I have to get it out or it's going to annoy me before we go into the stocks. If you could hire any role right now, what would be the role that you're looking for? Like some specific set of skill that could come in and like really make a big difference for where your business is currently at?
Somebody who could help me work on the business and develop it, and just product development and business development. I find that it's so easy to get bogged down in just keeping the business running, and it just doesn't leave me enough time for business development.
Yeah.
And it's, somebody like that would be highly qualified, and obviously you would have to pay them a high salary.
Yeah, sure.
And I think it's going to be the next investment for my company to make, is to bring somebody in with those kind of skills, because it's really hard to do it on your own.
Yeah.
There's only so much that I can do on my own. And I think after a while, you have to kind of look at bringing more kind of executive people in with you.
Yeah, for sure. I just, you know, I'm so late to the party, but I just finished reading The E-Myth last night. And the big kind of sentence from that book is like, you need to work on your business and not in your business.
Yeah,
and
it hit
me like an absolute sucker punch. I was like, damn it, man. Like, he's so right. Yeah. Like, that business development piece is really, really interesting. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, a couple of stock questions to land the plane. Take these literally whatever way you want. Okay. You can go personal, you can go professional. These are questions that we have asked every single guest we've had on the show. Number one, what is the most challenging moment you've experienced so far, and how were you able to overcome it?
So is that about my business, or
take that whatever way you want? It's dealer's choice.
I would say, okay, being 100% honest, the most challenging experience for me was the breakdown in the relationship with the father of my children, and setting up a new home, and in the same year setting up my business.
Brutal.
It was an incredibly challenging year to go out and to disrupt. The whole family was disrupted, and I had to find a way to financially kind of support myself and support the setup of the business. And I kind of look back at that year and I really don't know how I got through it. So that was a big challenge.
Yeah, fair play to you. Going out and literally feeding the family, you know? And it's interesting, like, I really could hear like the pride in your voice earlier, like, about how important it is to you to, like, even just be putting nutritious food on the table. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's cool that you have a business that now enables other people to do the same. That's just awesome.
Yeah, it's my security as well, you know, the kind of the fact that, like, last year I found myself in the position of considering the idea of getting a mortgage.
Sure.
And everybody had said to me, self-employed, not married, you're going to find it really hard to get a mortgage. But the bank managers have, like, because of my business, I am able to get a mortgage when the time comes. Wow. And it's my security. It's my family's security. So I was like, when I found that out, I just felt so pleased and so proud of what I had achieved.
For sure.
So even though it's incredibly stressful at times, I'm like, oh, I never asked for this. I never asked for it. How the hell have I got here? And this is too much. Yeah. I can't cope with all of this on my own. I do give out sometimes, but, you know, it's, I can see that it's a fantastic achievement. And very happy with it.
Absolutely. No, it's a credit to you, and it's a credit to not only all the hard work, because plenty of people can work hard, but it's the risk that you took as well. And again, plenty of people can take risks. It's the classic entrepreneurial thing of how you were able to kind of ride that wave. And there is a bit of an art and a magic to that, isn't there?
I feel like I'm riding a massive wave at the moment with this building project. Like, Jesus, like I didn't realize what I was getting myself into when I took on the unit. Sure. But it literally feels like I'm building a house. Like, I was given basically a shed with the four walls and the roof, but everything else inside, it's like engineers, electricians, like builders and carpenters. And I'm like, it's like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? So it's been a big wave to ride. And it's that kind of like, I'm taking a massive chance. But it's going well, and it had to be done.
It's
had no choice. Had no choice because I had nowhere to keep the forklift.
I just need a bigger garage for my car.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy though. Like, what did I hear recently? Yeah, every time you level up, the boss gets bigger. Blah, scary, but just true. Okay, so we may have touched on this already, but how about the most successful moment so far?
been on Nationwide last year. No.
What? I don't know what that means. What do you mean?
Oh, okay. Basically, it's actually a joke. But actually, no, it was kind of cool. Nationwide, it's a show that everybody knows in Ireland. It's on at like 7 o'clock every weekday. And it's just a really well-known show. And they cover all different types of subjects about life in Ireland. And
I'm clearly showing my Northern Irish card here.
Yeah.
My sincere apologies. I also don't watch TV, so that could be part of it.
Okay, yeah.
Wow, so you were on the prime time here?
Yeah, awesome. something like that. So that was pretty cool. And I had my daughters, they were kind of involved in the filming as well.
No way.
So that was like a really kind of proud moment. And yeah, I think when I get settled into the new building next month, I'll be really happy and really relieved. But it's a massive jump for the company.
Yeah. Cool. So the final question that we always wrap up with, so it's a cliche, but hey, if it works, why the heck would you try to fix it? If you could go back in time to an 18-year-old version of yourself and you had a couple of minutes of 18-year-old Haley's time, what would you say to her, or what sort of things would you say to her?
Oh, God, Well, you could have put this in the questionnaire to kind of given me a little bit of notice. What would I say?
It's all about the gut reaction here, you know.
Okay. Like that. Okay. I would say not to worry about the future and not to dwell on the past, to be in the present moment and to enjoy life. And yeah, just keep the chin up and keep going.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a bonus question? It's there.
Okay, go on.
Usually can take people maybe a couple of seconds to think through it. You'll get the long pause, the long silence. But okay. First thing that pops into your head whenever I ask you, what is the kindest thing that somebody's ever done for you?
Oh my goodness. As a teenager, I was actually living on my own since I was 16. As a child, I was left to my own devices and left school and had to work to survive. And it was a very difficult time for me because you're basically a child when you're 16.
Yeah, of course.
And I remember one time in my local town here in Skibbereen, I can't remember why I was crying, but something had really upset me. And a man walked past, a nice gentleman, and he stopped and sat with me and cheered me up. And this man was around I used to see him around the town for a number of years, but it always stayed with me. The way his kindness.
Cool. Well, look, Haley, I just want to say thank you so much for spending this time with us and sharing everything you did. Really appreciate it. I am chuffed that I got to hear the backstory to the sauerkraut that I eat. It is such a fun little privilege. The strangest superpower I think anyone's ever had, the ability to get to know the people behind the stuff that they love. So thanks for hopping on with us and for taking the time to do this.
Thanks, Matthew. It's been really fun talking to you and having the opportunity to share my story. So thank you.
Awesome. Good luck with the forklift.
Thank you.